trip. I'm a hustler, baby.
Come here, daddy.
I'm a hustler, baby.
Come here, daddy.
I'm a hustler, baby.
Come here, daddy.
Now I got that money, everybody love me. I'm a thug, nigga, I might drop something. I'm a thug, nigga, I might flock something. I'm a thug, nigga, make the foreign do a donut. If I like it, I'ma hit it, I don't care who fuck. I'm a thug, nigga, I don't smoke hookah. I fuck bitches and talk about who wants pussy. What it look like, what it smell like.
Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. We're doing the show a day late. I was traveling, but I'm back, ready to chop up game with the family. The phone number, family, is 818-850-5404. That is the number to call up. Chop up game with me right here on Tariq Radio. We're going to do a real quick commercial break, family. And I mean real quick, and we'll be right back after these messages right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle, family.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called ashkicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to ashkicking.com. That's ashkicking.com.
Black people are being ethnically cleansed in America, and you're next. The creator of the acclaimed documentary 7AM is back with an explosive new film, Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style. The American Holocaust won't have gas chambers and ovens. In the 21st century, making it too expensive for you to afford to live is the most humane form of genocide the world has ever witnessed. Go to our website, youwillbemoved.org. That's youwillbemoved.org.
Yo, we're in Black History Month right now, so you need to celebrate it the right way by going to royallymelanated.com. This site is having a month-long sale, and some of the books are almost 50% off. The site has made a wide variety of entertaining and educational books, and the publishing company continues to grow by adding 3 new titles, which includes the limited edition reissue of Position of Power, the sci-fi thriller Dreamer's Edge, and for those of you who are cupcaking this Valentine's Day, the book Can I Sell You a Dream will suit you well. Also, be sure to check out the best-selling Super Series and the controversial historical tale called A Birthday Surprise for George Washington. Visit royallymelanated.com to purchase your copies today. Hey, you guys should check out oneblink.com. OneBlink is the largest online black business link in America, and it's created to give black-owned businesses a place to shine. Their growing database of over 15,000 verified black-owned businesses allow you to search for local businesses in your area with complete ease. So you need to go there right now, network and politic at oneblink.com. That's the number one, bblink.com. Check out this brand new shoe line called Negast Footwear. Now, Negast Footwear is the first black-owned footwear company that caters to our culture. They have some real fly kicks, and you need to cop you a pair right now. You spell the name Negast, N-E-G-A-S-T, and you can get these fly kicks at www.sneakerscustom.com. That's sneakerscustom.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
Yo, what's up, man? We are back right here on Tariq Radio. And I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody in the house today. I know the show is a little late, but I'm here. I was traveling. I had to take care of some business out of town, and I'm back. And first, before I get anything started, let me thank the 300, the 300 family, meaning my hardcore 300, and not just them, everybody else who contributed to the crowdfunding for the new movie 1804. The crowdfunding has officially stopped. Now, people can still put some stuff on the movie because we have flexible funding, so people can still contribute to the movie if they choose. But the main crowdfunding has ended, and we got 245,000 raised to do this movie, and we're going to make this thing do what it do. I'm going to be going on some more shoots, I think next week, to film for the movie. I know I'm going down to Miami. I'm flying some people out here, so we got a lot of stuff to do. We're going to start doing the reenactment scenes. We're trying to decide what city we're going to do that in, and we'll find that out by next week. But the movie is coming along great. People are very excited about the movie. Shout out again to everybody who participated in the crowdfunding for the movie 1804. This is a movie, for those who don't know, which is about Haiti. It's about the Haitian Revolution. And it just shows that people are very, very excited about this film. People are excited about hearing our story from our perspective. And I'm very excited about telling the story from our perspective. And it feels great when we in our community can circle our wagons and get stuff done on our own without buck dancing, bucking our eyes, and sucking off other groups. We get it done on our own. I absolutely love it. So again, shout out to all the people who participated. Let me shout out my dude, Wilson Chandler, from the Denver Nuggets. My man, NBA player. He became a producer on the 1804 movie. So everybody, if you on Twitter, follow my dude, Wilson Chandler. Follow him on Twitter. He made a sizable contribution to the film. So that we got some brothers out here in the NBA and the NFL. You got some real ones out here. You got some real brothers out here. And there's some female athletes that's down too. I get a lot of love from some of the female professional athletes, but a lot of brothers out here, NBA players, a lot of them show a lot of love. It's not just Kaepernick. Kaepernick is my dude, but there's some other brothers out there that we need to prop up and pop our collar to them for representing. But we're going to make this movie pop out. And also what I'm going to do, if you guys go to 1804movie.com right now, I have some limited edition posters that we're going to sell on the site that's going to be autographed. I'm selling autographed posters of the film because people have been hawking me about the posters. The posters of the film. People love the poster for 1804. People love that poster. So we are selling the posters now, and they're going to be autographed, and they're limited. We only have a limited amount that we're going to be selling. Now, there's $75 for an autographed copy. I'm going to sign it for you, and I'm going to sign it with your name. So these are going to be personally autographed. I'm not just going to sign a whole bunch of them and then just sell them. No. Everybody who orders them, I'm going to sign your name and my name on it. Just to show appreciation to all the family who got down. Because the thing is, these posters, autographed posters, especially this one, is going to be a collector's edition. I mean, they're going to be a collector's item later on down the line. So years from now, when I'm gone, y'all can sell them bitches on eBay for about, shit, $80 in EBT money. I don't know what the fuck you can get, but when I'm gone, y'all can keep them shits as souvenirs. Yeah, somebody in the chat room asked about the t-shirts for the movie. That's coming soon. We're going to have the t-shirts going for retail. I know once we start sending everybody their crowdfunding perks, they're going to get t-shirts, and some people who contributed, they're going to get posters. But again, right now, at this moment, today, you can purchase an autograph poster right now at 1804movie.com. 1804movie.com. $75 for the autograph poster. These are real big posters, by the way. These ain't no little bitty ass flyers. These are the movie, the ones that's going to go in the movie theaters. And again, they're going to be valuable because anytime an author or director or producer, they sign some type of item from a film, they always go up in value. So this is an investment. You got to look at it like that. That's why I wanted to do it like this. I wanted to put some cats up on the investment game and show you how to hold on to something that will increase in value. You dig? Now, don't you motherfuckers go poison me so I can die fast so y'all can make quick money off the poster now. Don't do that. But later on down the line, the poster is going to be very valuable. 1804movie.com. That's where you can get it. And also, don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. This is Black History Month. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about on today's show, family. You know what I want to talk about on today's show? I'm talking about the myth of the black and brown camaraderie. I really want to talk about that. The myth of the black and brown camaraderie. We always hear the black and brown community are doing this. The black and brown community, they're being targeted. The black and brown. We keep hearing this black and brown thing. Every time black people want to talk about what's going on in our community, issues that pertain to us, we're always told, well, it's black and brown people who are being targeted by police. It's black and brown people who are being mass incarcerated. It's black and brown people this. And my question, who the fuck are the brown people you're talking about? Who are the brown people you're talking about? Because the thing is, a lot of these Latino groups, they don't look at themselves as brown. A lot of these so-called Hispanic groups, they don't look at themselves as brown. They identify themselves as white. See, now, as black folks, we're going to have to get off this caping bullshit. I'm on the whole your own nuts movement, and I mean just that. We're going to have to seriously let these groups hold their own damn nuts. And in particular, these Hispanic groups, and in more particular, Mexican groups. We're going to have to talk truth to power today. But who's this? Who's the brown people? Because we've shown on it over and over again that many of these Hispanic groups, particularly Mexican groups, they don't look at themselves as brown. They identify themselves as white. They identify themselves as white. So where's this coalition? Where's this camaraderie? This, we got to be very honest, black people. This black and brown camaraderie coalition, it's been very one-sided. There is no black and brown camaraderie or coalition. You know what we have? We have black folks caping for every other group. That's all it is. There's no coalition. It's never been reciprocal. It has never been reciprocal. This ain't shitting on no Hispanic people or nothing. But if you're Hispanic, and I have a lot of Hispanic listeners, I have Mexican friends, I have a lot of Hispanic friends, Latino friends, or whatever you like to call them. But right now, I'm just talking history, facts, and truth to power. That's all I'm talking about right now. And if I'm wrong, damn it, prove me wrong. Throughout history, this black-brown coalition has been one-sided. Please tell me where I'm wrong. where have these Hispanic groups or Mexican groups really rode hard for black people? We ride hard for them all the time. But when have you rode hard for us? Just let's talk truth to power. Let's just forget about the emotion. This is not emotion. I'm just talking logic here. This is business right here. And black folks are going to have to learn how to handle business when it comes to these other groups. Black folks are going to have to learn how to handle business when it comes to these other groups. Because we don't handle business. We get all emotional. And we got to take emotion out the game. We're going to have to learn how to take emotions out the game. See, the thing is, black folks, we can be fooled and manipulated through a couple of hugs and the promise of sex from some of these other groups. And we got to get off that bullshit. We got to get off that. And the thing is, for centuries, black people have been holding up and propping up and fighting for these so-called Latino Hispanic groups. And the favor has never been returned. The favor has never been returned. Now, the thing is, early this morning, there was, I think this was in Phoenix. This was in Phoenix. There was a Mexican immigrant named Guadalupe Garcia who lived here in the States for a long time, for I think about 20 years. She came over illegally. She had some anchor babies. She had a couple of children. Her children were born here. And they made an example out of her. And under Trump's administration and some of his new policies and executive orders, she got deported. She went into the immigration office, and under Trump's, you know, command, they deported her. And there was a whole big rally out there in Phoenix, and they're fighting to stop her from being deported. And I had a lot of Mexicans and Hispanics hit me up on Twitter talking about, we in this together. Now, wait a minute. That's the problem that I have. Because when it comes to dealing with black people, a lot of Hispanic groups have the same mindset as the white supremacists. We are marginalized as black people by a lot of these white Hispanics, or these Hispanics who classify themselves as white. This is why when you go down to South American countries or Spanish-speaking countries, the Afro-Latinos are always treated like shit. I've seen it everywhere I went. When I go to the Dominican Republic, I've seen the darker ones living on the bottom rungs of the totem pole. When I went to Costa Rica, it's the darker Latinos that's sent over there. We're always sent over there, over in the deprived part of town. Even if the whole country is deprived, they're going to send us to the place that's even more deprived. And you see it in Cuba. All the Afro-Cubans, the dark Cubans, are left there. And the white ones, they come over to Miami and get to stack their little paper up. So I'm just, these are just facts. There's no emotion here. I'm just talking facts. Black folks, we're going to have to start getting the facts and wallowing in the facts and stop wallowing in what we hope the facts should be or what it could be or the potential. We got to start dealing with facts. And like our brother Claude Anderson said, we got to start treating other groups the exact way they treat us. Not better, not worse. We're going to have to treat everybody the same way they treat us. That means everybody, even this fake black brown coalition that doesn't exist. We're going to have to treat these Hispanic groups the same way they treat us. It's going to have to be about business. Business is a two-way street. It's tit for tat. Right now, we've just been titting and not getting no tat. Now, yesterday, there was a bit of controversy over George Lopez, the comedian George Lopez. Now, George Lopez, he was doing a stand-up set. He made a joke. And let me play the clip. Let me play the clip so y'all can hear what he said. And this is the controversy. Let me play the clip of George Lopez. I forgot what city he was in doing this. I want to say it might have been even Phoenix. It might have been Phoenix. Can somebody in the room tell me what city he was in when he did this stand-up routine? But this is George Lopez right here.
There's still two rules in the fucking Latinos family.
Okay, so you might not be able to hear the audio that good, but he said there's still two rules in the Latino family. Listen.
There's still two rules in the fucking Latinos family. Don't marry somebody black. And don't park in front of our house.
Okay, so he said there's two rules in the Latino family. Don't marry somebody black and don't park in front of my house. Okay. Now, I don't have a problem with that joke. I don't have a problem with the joke. He's doing comedy. Now, afterwards, there was a woman who was a black Latina woman, from what I understand, because I heard somebody who claimed to be this woman doing an interview. She said, you know, she's black and Latina, and she got kind of offended, and she kind of stood up kind of in a joking way and gave him the finger. And then he went off on her and cursed her out and all this and had her removed from the building. So hold on, let me play that part where he's going off on her.
Marry somebody black and don't park in front of our house. Sit your fucking ass down. Sit your fucking ass down. Sit your, I'm talking bitch, sit your fucking ass down. You pay to see a show, sit your ass down. You can't take a joke, you're in the wrong motherfucking place.
So now she's being escorted out. Now, all right, now that's enough of that. Now, all right, so right there, that's what I have a problem with. Now I got a problem with that. So this black Latina woman, she threw her fingers in the air like the fuck you sign, and then he went off. And now the thing is, all that going off on her, bitch, shut up, fuck you, get the fuck out. See, then that wasn't no joke no more. Then it stopped being comedy. See, he took it somewhere else. See, this is the thing that we got to get on code about. Right there, after the joke, all that get the fuck out, get the fuck out, get the fuck out, bitch, get the fuck out. You got it. You can. That wasn't joke. Those weren't jokes. Those weren't jokes. And the thing is, people heckle all the time, and a lot of comedians, they know how to thoroughly handle hecklers. You know how to handle a damn heckler. You roast them. You clown them with jokes. That's how you handle hecklers. But that, putting her out and all that, I can't co-sign that. And there were a lot of black people, or people pretending to be black, online caping for George Lopez. Like, oh man, it was just jokes, man, we're too sensitive. No, black folks are going to have to learn how to be on code. One code that we're going to have to adopt, because we haven't adopted this code, this is why we always, always, always lose. Stop being so quick to side against another black person with a non-black person. We're so quick to do that and cape for the non-black person. See, what Lopez did after the joke, because I don't mind his joke. The joke, what he said, I don't mind that joke. It was a joke. I don't mind it, and it was true. That's how a lot of Latino families feel. They do have that anti-black attitude. That was 100% real. I have no problem with that. And people heckle. You know, she could throw her fingers up and say, fuck you or whatever. Look, I'm a lecturer, and people have tried to heckle my lectures. I know how to roast people. I'm not a stand-up comedian, but I know how to roast the motherfucker down. You dig? And as a comedian, he knows that. He should know that. But that was some other shit, which I cannot co-sign. And somebody said to me, well, Cat Williams went off on this Mexican guy before. Yeah, because there was a Mexican heckler at one of Cat Williams' shows, but Cat Williams was roasting this motherfucker with jokes, and Cat Williams, they were about to put the guy out. Cat's like, no, don't put him out. Let him sit there so I can roast his ass some more. So Cat was lighting this motherfucker up with jokes back to back. Then the Mexican dude started yelling, nigga. The Mexican dude took it to a whole different level. So that's a false equivalency. Cat Williams knew how to handle the dude. He made that dude a part of the damn show, which was more entertaining. This, what Lopez did, nah, I can't co-sign that. Going off on the sister, because you got to understand this. There's this thing in Mexican culture, and we're going to talk truth to power. There is, what he said was true, out of his own. And look, this ain't the first time that George Lopez has said some a racial joke and made black people the butt of the racial joke. He's made several jokes about black people having fucked up hair. He's made several jokes, and I'm like, you know. But, you know, I respect comedy, so I don't trip on that. I respect comedy. In the realm of comedy, you're supposed to be able to do whatever you say, whatever you're supposed to say in the realm of comedy. So I respect that part of comedy. He said a lot of fucked up shit, but in the realm of comedy, I respect comedy. Now, with that being said, you know what's interesting? When our brother Tracy Morgan, y'all remember he did a comedy routine and said something about gay people. You notice, didn't any gay people go caping for him? And his joke was just a random make-believe joke. He wasn't directing the joke at anybody. He wasn't directing the joke towards an audience member or nothing. This man was on a comedy stage telling jokes. He made a gay joke. And then the gay community made this man bow down. They made Tracy Morgan apologize. They almost sabotaged his career. And you didn't see one gay person or gay group come out and say, hey, it's just jokes. All of the gay community got on code. Even if they know it's wrong, they knew it was wrong to demonize that dude just for telling jokes. Nobody caped for Tracy Morgan in the gay community. I didn't see one person. We're going to have to start getting on code like that. We're so quick to cape for every non-white fucking person or non-black person, I'm sorry, against a black person. It's pathetic. Now, a lot of people were clowning George Lopez. They were clowning him on Twitter, saying he ain't that funny. He's this, he's that. Understand this. You got to look at it from a business perspective. Forget about the cognitive dissonance. See, we start telling shit to ourselves so we can justify our actions. No, you got to be on some business shit. Because let me say this. George Lopez, I like him as a comedian. I like George Lopez as a comedian. George Lopez is very funny. Don't get it twisted. George Lopez is a fucking hilarious comedian. Some of his HBO specials are classics. That motherfucker is funny. I am not taking that away from him. He's one of the funniest Latino or Hispanic comics out there. Very funny dude. One of the best in the business. But fuck him. You see that? He's funny. I like him as a comic. But fuck him. I'm going to say that again. See? No emotion. Just business. I like him. I think George Lopez is very funny. But fuck George Lopez. Because when it comes to caping for him or being team Melanoid, I'm team Melanoid, and it's just business. So fuck you. That's just business. I can't cape for you. If the team says that you gotta go, I can't fuck with you. I just can't fuck with you. Sorry. That's how they do us. That's how all groups do us. This is business. It's not personal. See, we try to put the personal shit in the mix. That's how they do us. They're like, look, Darnell, I like you, dude, but I can't really say nothing against my own for you. That's how they do us. You got to be on code. Stay on code. This is just business. Because they don't cape for us. When it's time to throw them under the bus, throw these motherfuckers under the bus and stop caping. Because that was wrong for him going off on that sister like that. That wasn't cool. Because the thing is, if it was a black comic going off on a white lady like that and kicking her out, they would be on code against that comedian. Don't get it twisted. They would be on code. They don't play that game. And let me say this. In a lot of Mexican culture and a lot of these non-white culture, you notice, I mean, non-black, I'm sorry. But in a lot of these cultures that are non-black, some of these other groups, they try to target black people for harm by going to the women. With a lot of Mexican dudes, a lot of them will target black women. Because, you know, a lot of groups go for easy targets. Not just these Mexican groups, but even white males. A lot of them will target either black children or black women. You notice that? So whenever you see somebody getting harmed or somebody getting beat up or killed, you know, it's usually a race soldier posing as a cop, harming some underage black teen. Or they're beating down a black woman and gaffling up a black woman. Even today, I saw a video of this sister. She was somewhere in New York, I think, upstate New York. And she was in her Lexus. She was in a nice car, and some white supremacist rolled up on her and ran her off the road. He was an open white supremacist. And he was, you know, a lot of these people are really pumped up by Trump, so they feel real bold. So this guy ran her off the road and told her, look, I ran you off the road because you're a nigga. You shouldn't be in a Lexus. And the white dude, the white supremacist, even told the police that. And the police actually arrested the dude. And they arrested him because he had a warrant and all that. They would have let him go, I think, if he didn't have a warrant. But this motherfucker was a career criminal. So this just happened. And again, a lot of these Asian males and these Asian people, they'll target black women. I've seen them try to jump on black women and beat black women down in these beauty supply stores. And I've seen sisters get in arguments in these nail shops and the Asian man come out there and do some jujitsu on their ass. These groups will really step to black women real heavy. So as part of the code, I will never, and you should never side with any non-black group or person who's harming a female in your group. That's just something you don't do. If they're harming somebody or trying to do harm verbally or physically, harming a woman in your group, you don't co-sign that. Black people are the only people on the planet who co-sign that stupid shit. That's why we weak as fuck right now. We're the only ones who will co-sign some non-black people harming black women or talking crazy towards black women. We're the only group who will do that. If any comedian, again, if a comedian was talking greasy about a Mexican chick, nobody in the Mexican community would co-sign that comedian or jump on his side. You dig? So we're the only group who does that, and we got to get off that. I remember years ago, me and my partner, my dude, his name is Project, we're in South Central. We were driving down, I think we were on Western and Century. We're around that area. We're around like Western, maybe Normandy and Century. It's around that area years ago. And we're driving down the street, and in front of a liquor store was a Mexican dude beating up this sister. So my dude, he immediately pulled the car over, and we got out the car and ran up on the Mexican dude, and he ran off. But just on GP, if you see somebody, Mexican, whoever, harming a black person, especially a black female, you shut that shit down automatically. No questions asked. I'm not going to sit up and say, okay, what happened? No, fuck that. No. On GP, you shut that shit down. But black folks, we're so damn silly and weak. I'm not going to say black folks. Coonish black folks. Because we got a small contingency of melanoid people, but it's not enough of us. There's too many coons out here ready to cape for all of these other groups. And again, even if I like him, I like George Lopez's comedy. He says a bunch of off-the-wall shit sometimes, but that's in the realm of comedy. I respect comedy. But that, going off like that, nah, can't do it. Because now, you just showed that that joke is something that you might believe in. You might have some level of disdain for black people. Because I haven't seen George Lopez go off and kick no Latinos out or any white people out. I mean, he makes jokes about white people. He makes jokes about Latino people. And I know George Lopez has been in comedy for, what, 100 fucking years? He's been in the game for a long time. He's had some Latino hecklers before. I don't know. Has he thrown them out like that? I haven't seen no video of it. But the thing is, what he said in that comedy routine was very true, and black folks got to understand that's how a lot of these so-called Latinos feel. This whole thing where we're not supposed to marry the Negro. I remember, man, when I was a teen, years ago, I used to kick it at the Panorama Mall up here in L.A., in Panorama City. I used to live over there in that area, and I used to walk to the mall, and that's, you know, as a teen, that's where all the teens would kick it. And, you know, you go up there campaigning, you know, all the boys and girls go up there macking and campaigning, you know. The mall is your club when you're underage. When you can't get in the club, the mall is your club. So, you know, we go to the mall almost every day campaigning for the ladies. And, you know, you get to know the people who work at the mall. There's, you know, people that you're friendly with, people that you're cool with. And there was this one Mexican girl at the mall. I don't even remember her name. But, you know, you see her at the kiosk. She worked at one of those kiosks. I forgot what the fuck she sold, but this was so long ago. But, you know, she was cool, and I was courteous with her and just everybody else who worked there. And I remember her telling me one day, she said, "Flex, you're cool. I would date you, but my parents would trip if I dated a black guy." And she just blurted that just out the blue, and I got extremely offended by that. I got extremely offended by that. I remember as a teen being very offended by that. Because number one, I don't like you like that. I didn't like her like that. She was just cool, somebody I was just cordial with at the mall at the time. You know, I'm a teenage player. So I got me all types of little fine sisters that I'm dealing with. Way finer than her. I remember she was kind of an average chick. So I had some bad dime sisters that I was fucking with at the time. So I'm like, well, you know, first I'm offended that you would assume that I wanted to get with you. You know, I got offended by that, by her just assuming that I wanted to holler at her like that. Then I got offended that she assumed I wanted to holler, but there were obstacles that I would have to overcome if I wanted to holler in the make-believe scenario. I mean, I'm just getting extremely offended just by the audacity of her comment. And what made me really offended, because I knew what street she lived on, and, you know, this she's talking about her family would trip, and I'm like, look, even if I did want to date you, even if I did want to date you, which I don't, I'd never looked at you like that. I guess she's one of those people who assume, and she might run into a lot of thirsty niggas. There's probably a lot of thirsty niggas who tried to holler at her just because she was a Mexican chick. But my thing, I got really offended. I'm like, who in the fuck is your family to look down on anybody? I know where you live. I know what street you live on, and that's not... It's not Rodeo Drive. It's not Beverly Hills Boulevard. I mean, y'all not balling out. So I wondered, what's the prize for me? So I would date you, but my family would trip on me dating a black guy. Okay, what's the prize for me? What do I get if I, in this hypothetical situation, if I were to overcome the obstacles to date you, what the fuck am I supposed to be getting? What's my grand prize? A very average Latina chick who I ain't really feeling like that, and a family with 12 motherfuckers in one bedroom? What am I missing here? Because that's how she was living. She had a real big family. All of them stayed in this little bit of the apartment, and I'm like, what am I getting? So I got very offended by that, because in Mexican society, especially out here in LA, they have this thing about brothers hollering at their girls, their sisters and their relatives. They really got a thing about that. Now, these Mexican dudes, they'll listen to rap and hip hop and listen to the R&B oldies all day. But if a dude, a brother, is banging their sister or their aunt or somebody, these motherfuckers trip heavy. They trip on that shit. They have a real problem with that. And it's just not in Mexican culture, to be honest. In a lot of Latino cultures, the males, they have a problem with the white Latino women getting banged out by black men. They have the same insecurities as the Anglo white supremacist male. Y'all remember the Cocaine Cowboys? There was the Colombian drug queenpin, Griselda Blanco. Now, Griselda Blanco, you know, she became a drug kingpin, so she wasn't under the thumb of the Hispanic male. She wasn't beholden to the Hispanic male for her daily sustenance. See, a lot of women from these other groups, you know, they keep these women in economic captivity. But a lot of times when these white Hispanics and white other groups of women can get economic freedom, you notice they a lot of times they will be diverse in their dating, just like Madonna. You know, Madonna, all types of brothers was digging Madonna's ass out back in the day. I think Tupac smashed Madonna, but I know Madonna was fucking with Dennis Rodman, a whole bunch of brothers. Look at the Kardashians. The Kardashians, they got their money stacked up, so they've become a brand, so they can date whoever they want to date and still make their brand money. That's why they keep soul poles up in them. But Griselda Blanco, one of the few Hispanic women who was really bawling out of control independently of the white Hispanic male. This woman did not need, though, she wasn't under the white Hispanic male. So she was bawling out. I mean, shit, she's one of the only ones I know of that was bawling like that. Griselda Blanco was a big drug queenpin in Miami and all over. And Griselda Blanco ended up fucking this black dude from the Bay named Charles Cosby. He was a hustler from the Bay. He's fucking this dude while she was in prison. She hooked it up so they can have conjugal visits, and she was fronting this dude some some weight, and you know, my nigga was getting in where he fit in. Charles Cosby was hustling the game, and all those Colombians and all those people working under Griselda, they did not like that. They did not like that, that this brother was digging her out and he was becoming the plug. Charles Cosby macked the shit out of her ass. And if you look at some of those episodes of Cocaine Cowboys, one of Griselda's hitmen, he kept saying how much he didn't like black people. It was one of them. I think his name was Ribby. He was like, I don't fucking like the niggers. I don't like them. I don't like fucking black people. And this motherfucker's two shades lighter than me. But, you know, there's a lot of self-hating going on in the Hispanic community. You dig? But that just goes to show a lot of them, they got a real problem with brothers digging out their women. Now, the thing is, the Hispanic male, they'll fuck with some sisters, but it's always on some gutter sex type of shit. You know, they try to do some real weird shit with the sisters, but they ain't gonna marry them like that. That's one thing. You know, they stay on code, which is cool. I don't mind you staying on code. I don't mind you staying on code at all. But the thing is, black folks, we have to understand, where's the camaraderie? Where's this coalition? Where's this black-brown camaraderie that we keep hearing about? We only hear about this camaraderie when black people are trying to get something for themselves. It's always, can we bring some of the quote-unquote brown people along? Can we bring some of the Latinos along too? Can they get some of the shit that you're fighting for? That's the only time it comes up, because when you're talking about Latino issues, our name don't come up nowhere. Our name is never brought up. And we got to understand, a lot of these so-called Latino groups, they have no problem identifying with the white supremacists on all levels. You know, out here in the prisons, the Mexican mafia, in California prisons, you got two sets of Mexican people. You got the northern Mexicans, which are the ones up in the Bay, Sacramento, that area, San Jose. Then you got the southern Mexicans, the ones from, you know, who are down here from San Diego, LA, Mexico. And in the California prison system, the southern Mexicans and the Mexican mafia in particular, they are allied with the Aryan Nation in the prison. Y'all go look that up. The Mexican mafia and the southern Mexicans, many of the gangs, the Mexican gangs, are allies. They work alongside with the Aryan Nation, these open white supremacist groups. And a lot of times, they do shit to target blacks. That's why for a long time, people hear about Mexican gangs targeting black people. That's with the assistance of these Aryan groups. Like for a hot minute, there were a lot of Mexicans targeting black people out here in LA. As a matter of fact, there's FBI reports showing that these Aryan groups are partnering with Mexican gangs. So that just goes to show their mindset. Where in the fuck is this coalition? Every time when you look at it and when you go deep, there is no coalition whatsoever, nowhere. When you look at it deep, there's always compliance with the white supremacists on behalf of these so-called Latino groups. And can somebody prove me wrong? Tell me where the fuck is the coalition from them? Where are they reaching out, helping us in any shape, way, form, or fashion? I really want to know. Somebody school me, because I've been doing a lot of research. I can't fucking find it. I see where we cape for them all the time. It's always a Jesse Jackson or somebody, a Sharpton, a Black Lives Matter walking around. You got a Mexican motherfucker with you with a sombrero. We're always caping for these groups. I can't see nowhere where they speak up for us or any of these so-called Hispanic groups really put it on the line for us. You understand this? But the thing is, black people out here caping for George Lopez. Black people are going out of their way to cape for George Lopez. But you notice none of these Hispanic groups caped for Trayvon Martin against George Zimmerman. None of these Latino Hispanic groups, none of them. None of them even denounced Zimmerman. I would like you to find a Hispanic group or a Latino group or a prominent Latino person or celebrity, anybody who denounced George Zimmerman killing Trayvon Martin, an unarmed black child. You have seen none of these groups denounce Zimmerman. They all stayed on code with Zimmerman. They kept their fucking mouths shut. Now, you might get a couple of people on random nobodies on Twitter. Hey, man, I don't like Zimmerman. You're a nobody, though. And you're hiding your identity. I don't even know if your account is real. So you don't count. I'm talking about prominent Latinos and Hispanics who's out here in the forefront, who fight for Latino issues and human rights issues and all that. None of these groups denounce George Zimmerman. None of them. And again, the cop who shot Philando Castile is a so-called Hispanic. I think the cop who shot the brother down there in Miami, the brother who had his hands up, and he was working with the special needs child, or no, not child, but the special needs youth, that cop was Hispanic. None of these Hispanic groups are going out denouncing these people, man. None of them. Where's this coalition? And the thing is, when this Guadalupe Garcia, when she's getting deported, because now the Trump laws are starting to, the Anglo white supremacists are circling their wagons, and all the non-Anglo whites who help boost the numbers for the white population, and that's their only job, that's the only reason they let you be white, so you can boost the numbers for the white population, but they still like, oh, I don't know, y'all still got some of that Native American blood in you, some of you still got some of that Moorish blood in you, so we got to be careful about who we mate with. So you can be white over there, you're not quite all the way white, we're gonna have to build that wall around you if you're not really white enough. Now that they're deporting some of these people, they're looking to us. They're looking back over here at black society. Like, hey, come on, man. We're in this together. We're in this together. I've been hearing that shit all day on Twitter. Mexican people are hitting me up. Come on, Tariq. We are in this together. No, we're not in it together, because we've been caping for you for a long time and y'all been shitting on us. According to George Lopez, even your own Latino and Hispanics are saying this. Y'all shitting on us every chance you get, and when the shit hits the fan with you, all of a sudden, let's reach out and have a camaraderie, brother. Black Lives Matter, black and brown. Now you brown. After the white supremacists then shit on you, now you brown. Stop it. No, Julio, no. Come on, Derek, we're together, man. No, we're not together, because you ain't representing. Hold your own nuts. We're going to really have to let these people hold their own nuts. I'm sorry. This is business. Nothing personal. Don't come at me with the, no, don't bring your big booty Mexican aunt over here now. No, that's not going to make me change my mind. No. You can get with my sister? No, I'm good. No, I'm good. We're good. Hold your own nuts. You deal with that. They want you all to build a wall or whatever. You deal with that. Good luck to you. I pray. But you're going to have to hold your own nuts. This is business. No, nothing personal. I don't want you to get harmed. I hate to see anybody get harmed or anybody get mistreated. I don't want to see people get deported. Is that bad? Oh, that's horrible what's happening to that woman. She's being separated from her kids. That's horrible. But as Claude Anderson said, that ain't our problem. But we in this together. No, we're not. Because when your people are shooting my people and you're getting up there buddy-buddy with the white supremacists, we ain't together then. Well, we shouldn't be together now. Y'all don't denounce shit when it comes from these so-called Latino race soldiers who classify themselves as white, shooting us down and gunning us down, and these so-called Hispanic Cubans down there in Miami shitting on black folks, voting for Trump. Remember, these Hispanic, Latino, white Cubans voted for Trump down there in Miami and Florida, by the way. So we're not together. We're not. No. Because you ain't. You don't want togetherness. You just want us to cape for you. And then you dispose of us after we cape for you. No thanks. That day is over. We're done with that shit. We're done with that. We're taking the capes off. The capes are going to be black. With a melanoid sign on it. Though I'm only caping for other melanoid people. Because we're the ones who need the caping. Look, let me tell you something. Black people, African people, we've been caping for the Mexican community for damn near 500 years. African people, when you look at history, African people, we have been saving Mexican people from the tyranny of the Spanish for centuries. Do y'all understand me? Let's just talk history. This ain't emotion. This is history here. I challenge you to show me anytime the so-called Mexican community, and I'm talking about Mexicans in particular. When the Mexican community really stepped it up for black people and put it on the line for black people. Because we've done it for centuries, going back to people like Gaspar Yanga. Understand, when the Spanish went down there into South America and Mexico and all that, or what is now known as Mexico, raping and enslaving the indigenous Native American people there, a lot of those people just basically submitted to the subjugation. They were just, okay, shit, you got me. And they kind of went along with it, because Brother Neely Fuller said something very deep about the Spanish white supremacists and the English-speaking white supremacists. He said, there's so much confusion in the Spanish-speaking countries over here in the West, because the Spanish-speaking white supremacists took a different approach than the English-speaking white supremacists when they went to navigate the world. Whenever the Spanish-speaking white supremacists encountered indigenous people and they took advantage of the women sexually, the Spanish-speaking white supremacists claimed the offspring. So if the women, the native women, had children, they were like, oh, that is my son. So they kind of claimed them. They claimed the offspring. So that created confusion among the native indigenous people, and it created confusion among the Spanish white supremacists. That's why a lot of them, they're very confused now about who's who, who's Hispanic, who's Latino. All this shit is very confusing to them. This is why sometimes you see some Hispanics identify with Taino, Indian. Some will identify with the Aztecs. Then some will identify with Spanish. They don't know what the fuck to identify with. They're completely confused. But the English-speaking white supremacists, see, there's no confusion there, because the English-speaking white supremacists, they never claim their offspring. So that's the thing. They did the same thing the Spanish white supremacists did, the Spanish-speaking white supremacists. But the English-speaking white supremacists, yeah, they fucked all the native women, but all the kids who came out mixed or whatever, they're like, I don't know them. Yeah, they're just a bunch of light niggas popping around, but I don't know who they are and where they came from. He looks just like you. Well, I don't know about that. So the English-speaking white supremacists did not claim the offspring. Even look at Thomas Jefferson. Now, we all know that Thomas Jefferson, you know, had all types of black kids. He was messing with Sally Hemings, one of his black slaves, for years. That family to this day will deny that shit. There's DNA that's proven that Thomas Jefferson got these black kids. There's DNA. And the Thomas Jefferson family today, they act like they don't know what you're talking about. Huh? How are we going to have black family members and we legally blind? You know, they start talking crazy. They deny it to this damn day. The English-speaking white supremacists, they deny their black offspring like it's nothing. They don't, like, I got a whole plantation of these motherfuckers look like me, but they're going to have to go pick that cotton. So the thing is, there's always been that confusion with the native people dealing with the Spanish, being subjugated under the Spanish, because a lot of the victims of Spanish subjugation, the native people who were mixed in, the mestizos, because that's what it means. Mestizo is basically a mixture of native and Spaniard. The mestizos, the mixed people, even though they're being subjugated and humiliated and raped and abused by the Spanish, they still see, well, we're kind of family. We speak the same language. You know, we kind of look alike. I got a Spanish dad from Europe who claims my cousin. So there's confusion. So there's that hope. There's always that hope of being brought up in the family. If they act right, they're going to be brought up the family ladder. But the African people who were brought over by the Spanish over into the Mexico area, there was no confusion. They knew we're not a part of this family at all. So, you know, many African people who were down in the area of Mexico, who were down there whooping ass and fighting for freedom and getting the Spanish off the indigenous people's asses. There's one brother in particular named Gaspar Yanga. Some pronounce it Yanga, but Gaspar Yanga. He was a West African brother who was enslaved down there by the Spanish in the late 1500s, early 1600s. It was Gaspar Yanga, this West African man. And they got a city down there named after him. They got a big old statue of this big African man down in Mexico. They know who the fuck he is. They know who the fuck Gaspar Yanga is. That brother was badass. That brother stood up and said, no, y'all not going to be subjugating people. He started whooping the Spanish ass. He formed maroon colonies up in the hills down there. And he held these colonies for years, for decades. And he was running these guerrilla tactics, these warfare tactics on the Spaniards. And the Spaniards had to come up with a treaty with his ass. And they had to stop slavery down there because of Gaspar. Gaspar was down there putting in so much work, they had to come up with a treaty. They said, okay, we'll stop this bullshit. Stop fucking up our crops. Because they were, Gaspar was going down there sabotaging their crops and the whole nine. This brother was badass. And you don't hear about Gaspar Yanga. You don't hear too much about Gaspar Yanga. That's why I don't take that disrespect shit coming from these Latino groups and Mexican groups when it comes to black folks. You need to thank us. Thank the African people for getting the Spanish off your ass in many cases, who you have this camaraderie with, and that's not even reciprocal, because I've been to Spain before. I've been all over Spain. People in Spain, they don't really identify with Mexican people. Based on what I heard over there through them, they don't look at Mexican people over here as them. They don't look at, that's just reality. They do not. But hell, even one of the first presidents of Mexico, Vicente Guerrero, he was a black man, a mixed black man, but he was a black man. He knew, okay, look, I'm not the Spanish, you know, I'm not going to be up the family ladder, so I better fight these people. So it was him. He was one of the leaders in the War of Independence for Mexico. It was Vicente Guerrero who helped fight for the independence of Mexico to get Spain off their ass. Look him up. And they were very aware of his blackness. They called him El Negro. They called him all types of shit. And he was one of the first presidents of Mexico, a black dude. Vicente Guerrero, look him up. He was out there whooping ass. He wasn't sitting up there waiting to get brought up in the family ladder like a lot of these quote unquote Latinos and Hispanics do. You, truth be told, a lot of them sit around waiting on white mommy and white daddy to bring you up the family ladder. So you'll take abuse, you'll take subjugation because they kind of claim you. You dig? But it was people of African descent always paving the way for the Mexican community. When you look at history, even the founding of Los Angeles, it was a black dude, another mixed guy. You notice all of these black people who are mixed with that African bloodline, they've always been the freedom fighters for Mexican people throughout history. One of the people who helped found LA was Francisco Reyes. He was a black dude. They liked to, you know, back then, if you were mixed, they would call you mulatto. But he was a black dude who was the first mayor of what would be Los Angeles. The first families that helped found Los Angeles, they were mixed with Spanish and black. So we've always, African people have always paved the way and laid the groundwork for freedom and expansion for the Mexican community. So that disrespect shit, no. We can't cape for that because we've been caping for the Mexican community for a long time as African people. And it has not been reciprocated. So it's about time that we take the damn capes off and let people hold their own damn nuts and make it about business. Nothing personal. I still got Mexican friends. A lot of love. Mexican fans, much love to you. Much love to you. But when it comes to social issues, when it comes to political issues, you're going to have to hold your own nuts because right now we're in a very deep quagmire with what we have going on with Trump. So I'm going to focus my energy on helping the people who need the help the most, which are the melanoid people over here who don't get no help. Nobody's caping for us. Nobody's fighting for us. Nobody's standing up for us. So I'm saving my energy for these people over here. There is no coalition because you got too many Latino race soldiers out here who are identified with white harming us. So we're not on the same page, and our Latino comrades, they're not condemning these people. So now you're sticking to a code. It's time for us to stick to a damn code. It's time for us to stick to a code. We're taking off the sombrero. We're taking off the piñata capes or whatever. We're taking the capes off, and you're going to have to hold your own nuts. You're going to have to deal with them damn Trumps and the Anglo white supremacists that a lot of these Hispanic groups aim to be. They wish to be in the same realm of these Anglo white supremacists, and these Anglo white supremacists let you know where you're not white enough, and they keep smacking you down in your place. And when they smack you down, y'all look at us and like, can you put your cape back on? No, I can't put it back on, Geraldo, or whatever your name is. And that's another one. Geraldo's fake fucking ass. You remember fake bullshit ass Geraldo used to play that Hispanic shit? You know, I'm Hispanic and Jewish. I'm a minority. He was on that for a long time. Geraldo Rivera was on. He used to play that I'm a Puerto Rican and Jew. He used to play that shit up all the time. Geraldo used to play that Latino shit up all the fucking time and then hopped his bitch ass on Fox News shitting on other black people. No caping. These people like Geraldo. Remember when the Klan, he used to play that Latino shit up because the Klan broke his fucking nose on his own show. Y'all look that up. A lot of y'all might not be old enough to remember the Geraldo Rivera show, but Geraldo, you know, he's on Fox News every blue moon, and he had a talk show back in the day, and it was like one of them trashy bullshit talk shows, real trashy daytime talk. It was like Jerry Springer before Jerry Springer. And he had the Klan on there, and there was a big fight, and the Klan, somebody in the Klan hit his ass in the nose with a chair and broke his nose. So he played that whole, I'm a minority, look what they've done to me. The white supremacists, they've hurt me, I'm a minority. He played that minority shit up, but he couldn't wait to get up under Fox News' trousers and start licking white supremacists' balls. He couldn't wait. That's why we got to stop caping for these folks, man. Don't let them run that black-brown coalition bullshit game on us. There is no coalition. They never have it. They only have it when somebody's breaking their nose, somebody's deporting them, somebody's making them build a wall. Then all of a sudden, we're together, dude. We're together. No. Hold your own nuts, Rodrigo. And we got to stay on code. Part of the code is let them hold their nuts. We ain't caping for nobody, no other groups. Part of the code, you never side with another group against a black person. That's one thing we really got to get on. There's going to be coons. There's going to be the Omarosas and all these coons out here. But that's what it is. That's why we got to replace the system of white supremacy with a system of justice. And then that will immediately get rid of the coons. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Yo, y'all want your poster for the 1804 movie? You want a poster? Go to 1804movie.com right now. 1804movie.com. Order a poster for the movie. A big, huge poster. I'm going to autograph it for you. Make sure you put your name down in a correct manner or whatever name you want me to sign. When you check out with PayPal, just because some of y'all be having these, you know, strange names. And some of y'all might have a PayPal in your grandma's name. And I don't want to sign the shit Miss Hattie Jenkins and your name is Ken Dog or whatever. So put the name you want me to autograph on your poster. And again, these posters are going to be collector's items. Because I'm going to personally sign them. It's me. I'm signing them with my name. And I'm going to sign them to you. And these are going to be collector's items. So go to 1804movie.com, ladies and gentlemen. It's been real. Y'all have a great day, man. I'll holler at you guys on this Sunday's Ustream, ladies and gentlemen.